Take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 22. Let me tell you what we're going to do the next 4 weeks. We're going to talk about Jesus as we lead up to Easter at the end of the month. So we've got 4 Sundays counting today. Today I'm talking about the arrest of Jesus when he was arrested at Gethsemane. And then next week we'll look at Jesus' trial before various people. That'll be a very interesting sermon. And then the next week will be the cross of Jesus. And of course, we're going to have the Lord's Supper on that time. And then the next week will be the resurrection of Jesus. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't stay dead? All right. Amen. So if you don't like Jesus, don't come. All right. So we're going to talk about you. Well, if you don't like Jesus, come and you'll fall in love with Jesus. All right. How's that? Let's look at the sweetness of surrender. You remember what Jesus said? Father, not my will, but thine be done. Let's say that together. Father, not my will, but thine be done. Look there in Luke 22, verse 39. Then accompanied by the disciples, Jesus left the upstairs room and went as usual to the Mount of Olives. There he told them, pray that you will not give in to temptation. He walked away about a stone's throw, knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. He prayed more fervently. He was in agony, such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. At last he stood up again. He returned to the disciples, only to find them asleep, exhausted from grief. Why are you sleeping? He asked them. Get up and pray so that you'll not be given to temptation. But even as Jesus said this, a crowd approached, led by Judas. When you say Judas, you just kind of get choked up, don't you? Almost doesn't want to come out. What a guy. One of the 12 disciples. Judas walked over to Jesus to greet him with a kiss. But Jesus said, Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? When the other disciples saw what was happening, what was about to happen, they exclaimed, Lord, should we fight? We brought the swords. And one of them struck at the high servant priest's slave, slashing off his right ear. But Jesus said, no more of this. He touched the man's ear and healed him. When Jesus spoke to the leading priests, the captains of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, he asked another question, am I some dangerous revolutionary that you come with swords and clubs to arrest me? Then he asked another question. Why didn't you arrest me in the temple? I was there every day. But this is your moment, a time when the power of darkness reigns. Heavenly Father, speak to us about how precious and sweet it is to pray the prayer that Jesus prayed when he was under more pressure than ever before. Not my will, but thine be done. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. And if you agree, say amen. You know, Jesus undoubtedly is the greatest person ever to live, and he is the Son of God, fully divine, but he's also the Son of Man, fully human. Well, which one is he? Both. He's 100% God, 100% man simultaneously. And during his 33 years on earth, we see both his deity and his humanity. We're going to talk a little bit more about that, but we want to see him today. He's going to endure the coming of the cross. He knew he was born to die for all of mankind. He was going to bear the sins of all mankind to offer salvation to anybody. But Jesus had never been separated from God. Why is he recoiling? What's going on here? What's he saying? Let this cup. What is the cup? It's not the cross. He's not afraid of dying. What he's afraid of and what he's pulling back from and what he's recalling about is he had never been separated from God. And he loved his Father. He loved the Holy Spirit. He was part of the Trinity, and he didn't want to see That happened. But when God laid the sin of mankind upon Jesus, do you remember what he prayed? My God, say it with me, why hast thou forsaken me? Herschel Hobbes said he was momentarily on the cross, forsaken by God, so that you and I would not be forsaken by God for all eternity. Isn't that beautiful? So that's what he's recoiling about. That's what he's praying about. All of mankind's sins were laid upon him, and he'd be separated from God. So he goes to his favorite place of prayer, the Garden of Gethsemane. It means olive press, and God was about to press him hard. He prayed there often, the Bible says, and he prayed fervently. Father, if you're willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me, yet I want your will to be done, not mine. There was no other way for Jesus to provide salvation besides being separated from God on Calvary's cruel cross. Has God ever asked you to do something that was hard for you? Maybe he wants you to apologize to somebody you don't really want to. I'm not going to make anybody raise any hands. Maybe he wants you to give somebody your car, or just to give them a car. They don't have a car. God's laid that on your heart, and you're fussing about it. Oh, that couldn't be God. Oh, it could be. Could be. If you've got two, they don't have one. Could be. Maybe he's letting you experience physical sickness. Maybe he's asking you to forgive somebody who's wronged you, and they don't even know that they've wronged you, maybe. Or they're just determined not to ask for forgiveness, and God's telling you to forgive them when they did the wrong. God does that. Did you know that? Yeah. I'll say amen for you. God does that. Maybe he's saying, don't defend yourself against your critics. Let them say what they want. Don't worry about it. You answer to me. You don't answer to them. Those things are tough, aren't they? That's when you have to pray, God, your will be done, not mine. That's the sweetest state of surrender. It'll get you through any dark storm when you just throw up your hands and say, I surrender. Whatever you want, private gains, reporting for duty, whatever you want, Lord, you just come on. Sweetness of surrender. Well, let's look at a few things. And being a good Baptist preacher, I got three things to look at. It's sweet to surrender to God and accept His will. It's sweet to surrender to God and love your enemies. It's sweet to surrender to God and receive His timing. First of all, Christian, it's sweet to surrender to God and accept His will. That's what you need to do today. You need to surrender to God and just accept His will. Even if you don't know what it is, just accept it and just say, Lord, thy will be done. If you look back in earlier part of Luke 22, Judas had already agreed to betray Jesus. He made a devilish deal, if you will, with the Jewish religious leaders. They paid him 30 shekels of silver to betray Jesus. And meanwhile, Jesus was eating the Passover meal with his disciples, sharing in the first Lord's Supper, where Jesus insisted that Peter would deny him eventually. And well, that night, Peter was arguing, defending himself. We all do the same thing. But you know, before the rooster crowed, the next morning, Peter denied him. How many times? Three. That's right. Then Jesus went, after he talked to Peter, confronted him, he went to pray at Gethsemane near the Mount of Olives. Verse 39, then accompanied by the disciples, Jesus left the upstairs room, went as usual to the Mount of Olives. There he told them, pray that you will not give in to temptation. He warned them, hey, temptation's coming now. It's going to be a tough night. So then he isolates himself with God the Father in Gethsemane. It was there that Jesus surrendered and accepted the load of the cross. Look at verse 41. He walked away about a stone's throw, knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering, the cross, away from me. yet I want your will to be done, not mine. You see the tug of war going on? You see the conflict? Well, I love verse 43. So many times when people pray, God sends an angel. Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened Jesus. He prayed and an angel came. Angels are God's ministers to prayer warriors. And he prayed fervently. Look at verse 44. He prayed more fervently. He put it in high gear. And he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. When's the last time you prayed and broke a sweat? I'm asking you. When's the last time you prayed so fervently that you actually started to sweat? And I'm not talking about because you had the heat on. Jesus broke a sweat while he prayed. Fervent, passionate, intense. Verse 45, at last he stood up again, returned to the disciples, only to find them asleep, exhausted from grief. You know, if anybody was exhausted, it was Jesus. Sometimes your prayer warriors will let you down, won't they? The disciples failed Jesus. They slept instead of praying. I think there are a lot of sleepy churches, don't you? I don't want Bellevue to be a sleepy church. I want Bellevue to be a praying church. Go to bed on time so you can get up on time to spend some time with God. Jesus rebuked them. I don't want him rebuking me. Verse 46, why are you sleeping? He asked, get up and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. And in all of this, we see that it's sweet to surrender to God and accept his will. You know, when people think about people like Daniel in the Old Testament, they think about him being thrown into the lion's den. But that's not really the big deal about Daniel. His point of surrender to the will of God is not when he was thrown into the lion's den. The lion's den was Daniel's reward, if you will. It was given by a bunch of jealous men because Daniel prayed and had surrendered completely to God's will. Daniel's point of surrender was not when he was thrown into the lion's den. His point of surrender came when the Medo-Persian officials had made it illegal to pray to anybody except King Darius. So he got the note. He got the memo. He didn't get an email, but he got the word. And so for 30 days, you're not supposed to pray to anybody except Darius, who was no God. His moment of surrender, we read about it in Daniel 6:10. But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and did what he always did. He knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with the windows open toward Jerusalem. I love that. He prayed three times a day, just as he always had done, giving thanks to his God. I read a really neat statement from a guy named Dale Ralph Davis about Daniel. He said, kneeling in prayer is not a matter of indifference. It reminds us of our true position. It's as if we say, Lord, I'm your servant. You're my king. I don't live in a democracy, Lord. I live under a monarchy. You are not my errand boy. You know, some of you have got a list of things that you are basically telling God to do. And you think God is your errand boy. Did you know that God doesn't owe you anything? You don't want what you deserve, and neither do I. God's not your little delivery boy. And that's what he's saying here. He's not your errand boy. He said, I never present any demand to my God. I come as a beggar at the throne of grace. And though it's a throne of grace, I never forget that Almighty God is on that throne. Daniel had surrendered to God. And he accepted his will. He came out of the lion's den. But like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he was basically saying, if I go to the lion's den, if I go in the fire, I'm going to obey my God. And you look at me, we could live to see in America where they outlaw prayer, where they outlaw church. I guess I'll just see you in jail, all right? Because God is God and man is not. Amen? Amen. Let's just surrender, accept God's will. Aren't you tired of trying to navigate your own life? Aren't you tired of that? Do what Daniel did. Do what Jesus did. Just surrender it all to God. Father, if you're willing, please take this cup away from me, this cup of suffering. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Lord, I want your will to be done, not mine. In my marriage, my children, my grandchildren, in my job, my finances, my health, in my nation, in my church, in the United States of America, in all the political elections that are coming up, in all the economy, in Bellevue Baptist Church, Memphis, in my past, my present, my future, I want your will to be done, not mine. It's so sweet to surrender to God and accept His will even when you don't know it. Let's give God praise for that. Amen. Amen. Well, secondly, I enjoyed that so much I could preach that again. It's also sweet to surrender to God and love your enemies. Not an amen in the bunch. Hold that one. Can go back to that first one. No, it's too late. Verse 47. But even as Jesus said this, a crowd approached led by Judas, one of the 12 disciples. Judas walked over to Jesus to greet him with a kiss. Judas, I believe, was lost. I don't believe he was a true disciple of Jesus. I know he was possessed by the devil. He was a tare. He was a weed among the wheat. I don't think he'd ever been born again, because the Bible says in Luke 22, verse 3, look at this on the screen, then Satan entered into Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12 disciples. The devil cannot possess a Christian. The devil can harass a Christian, but he can't come into a Christian and possess him. He can oppress you, and he does, but he can't come in to live with you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and I got news for you. Holy Ghost's not going to let the devil in, all right? That ain't going to happen. So Judas was lost, and the devil turned him into a carnal, corrupt, cold-blooded traitor. He deceitfully walked over to Jesus to greet him with a kiss. He told the guards, the ones now that I kiss, that's Jesus. Arrest him. He was full of the devil. No wonder he killed himself within a few days. And Jesus, though, responded with love to the one who betrayed him. Jesus said, Judas, he asked another question. And Jesus is not asking these questions to gain information. Jesus asks questions all the time, rhetorical questions, to make us think. It's all through the teachings of Jesus. Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? Jesus' disciples were not as loving toward Judas and his thugs. Look at verse 49. When the other disciples saw what was about to happen, they exclaimed, they shouted, Lord, should we fight? Brought our swords. And one of them struck the high priest's slave, slashing off his ear. He cut off his ear. You say, why'd he cut off his ear? Because the guy dodged. He was trying to cut off his head. And the guy ducked. But Jesus would have none of it. Look at verse 51. Jesus said, "No more of this." He touched the man's ear and he healed. Now, don't rush by that. The man's ear was in the dirt. He picked it up, slapped it back on his head, and it stuck. I think that's cool. You know, he made that ear to begin with. Amen. Let's have an amen for Jesus. All right. That's good, isn't it? When the disciples saw Jesus loving his enemy, they were amazed. You know, Jesus practiced what he preached, didn't he? Yeah. And it's sweet. I'll tell you something, it is sweet. When you've got enemies, to surrender so deeply to God that you can love, I mean genuinely love. Jesus loved Judas, even though he betrayed him, even though he was full of the devil, he loved him. You know, he taught the same thing in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 43 and following. You've heard the law that says, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I say to you, when you read the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, just remember to read those, but I say to you. There's tons of them. But I say, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. Verse 45, in that way, you'll be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good. Does he not? The sun comes up on the evil and the good, right? He sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you're kind to only your friends, how are you any different from anybody else? Even pagans do that, but you're to be perfect. That doesn't mean perfect, never sinning. It means blameless. It means mature. Even as your Father in heaven is perfect, mature, blameless. Jesus said, only a forgiven, mature disciple of mine can truly love his enemy. Do you love your enemies? You should. You should. That neighbor that bothers you. You know what I've learned over the years? People are hurting in one area and they're acting out in another area. Your neighbor doesn't hate you. Your neighbor that's hard to get along with just has something going on in his life that's hurting him. And only God can defend you. Did you know that? Now, I'm not against locking doors and alarm systems and, you know, some of y'all probably have booby traps around your house. I don't know. If you do, don't invite me over, all right, because I'm the guy that'll find it, all right, accidentally. You can't defend yourself when it comes down to it. Only God can defend you. You can have as many guns as you want and everything else. The Bible says in Psalm 127, verse 1, read it with me. This is so good. Read it with me, please. Unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. It's useful for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat. Now watch this. For God gives rest to his loved ones. If God doesn't take care of you, if God doesn't protect you, you have nothing. Jesus is holding you in his hand. Somebody gave me a picture. I have that right by where I read my Bible every day. I've got another picture above it where these three ladies are working in a field. Somebody gave me that picture too. Most every day I look at those ladies and say, Lord, I thank you I'm in the right field, doing the right thing with the right people. And I look at that picture and I say, Lord, I thank you that I'm in your hands. I'm not in cancer's hand. I'm in God's hand. I'm in God's hand. And God's hand is big enough, amen? Big enough to handle anything we've got. I love the Psalms. Psalm 118:6 says, "The Lord is for me, so I have no fear. What can mere people do to me?" I'm not going to worry about people. I'm just going to fear and reverence God. Romans 8:31, if God, read it with me, if God be for us, who can ever be against us? Oh, how sweet that song. Remember that? Oh, how sweet it is to trust in you, Jesus. Amen. It's sweet to surrender to God and love your enemies. Well, Bellevue, aren't you glad it's sweet to surrender to God and accept His will? Aren't you glad it's sweet to surrender to God and love your enemies? And now, there's another one you may have a little hard time saying amen to. It's so sweet to surrender to God and accept His timing. Amen. God's never late, but He's never early. He's always right on time. Look at verses 52 and following. Jesus lived totally surrendered to the will of His Father. Perfect time. He lived in the perfect timing of God's will. That's why, like Daniel, Jesus didn't run from His enemies. Why should He? He's living in the perfect timing of God. He simply overcame His enemies by surrendering to God and accepting God's perfect timing in His life. He knew that His enemies were not in charge of His life. It will be a great day when you learn that if you're a Christian, other people are not in charge of your life. The devil is not in charge of your life. The demons are not in charge of your life. God is in charge of your life. Man, that takes all the weight off, doesn't it? Jesus said, my enemies aren't in charge of me. My Father is. So Jesus calmly, collectedly, asked Judas and his enemies two more questions. Look at verse 52. He spoke to the leading priests, the captains of the temple guard, and the elders. That's a pretty grandiose bunch there. That's an entourage right there that came out for him. Question number one, am I so dangerous? Am I some dangerous revolutionary, he asked, that you come with swords and a club and clubs to arrest me? I mean, come on, guys. I'm not packing. And you come to me with a sword and clubs? Question number two, why? If you wanted to arrest me, didn't you do it at the temple? I was there every day. Why are you coming out here to the Garden of Gethsemane? But nobody, as usual, could reply appropriately to Jesus' question. He came to earth, totally surrendered to God, and He accepted the timing of God. Jesus was God's suffering servant. He had a salvation agenda, not a selfish agenda. He did not come to make Israel great again. He came not to revitalize Judaism. It was dead. It was corrupt. It needed to just die. He didn't come to destroy Rome. Remember, He prayed for the Romans when He was on the cross. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He prayed for His enemies, and He provided salvation for everyone by being crucified. The Jews, the Greeks, the Gentiles, the slave, the free. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. He defeated sin, hell, and the grave. He established God's kingdom. And then Jesus explained that his arrest was Satan's and the world's brief dark moment. He said, this is all timing here, guys. Look at his last phrase there. But this is your moment. This is your moment. The time when the power of darkness reigns. Jesus had said, Lord, your will be done, not mine. He surrendered to God and accepted God's timing. Life's better when you surrender, isn't it? I've tried to do that with my cancer, my myasthenia gravis. I don't really like what I'm going through, but you know what? It's just where we are, and Don and I believe it's God's timing. But we believe it's a bigger thing than that. We believe the Lord has a perfect plan for our lives. We believe God's going to give us a future and a hope. We believe God's going to turn every curse into a blessing. We believe greater is Jesus who is in us than the devil who's in the world. We believe every demon is on his way to hell and Jesus Christ is our Lord. We believe no weapon formed against us will prosper. We believe that every tongue that accuses us in judgment will condemn. We believe that this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Our vindication is from Jesus, saith the Lord. We believe that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We believe it's God. If God be for us, who can be against us? We believe that we are more than conquerors through Christ our Lord. We believe that God supplies all of our needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. We believe that surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. And one of these days, we believe that we're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Amen. Give God praise. Stop trying to make things happen. Amen. That's not your job. Amen. Just stop it. Amen. Surrender to God. Embrace His timing. Don't be anxious about your life. Amen. There's a lot of people that go to a doctor with anxiety that if they would just take their thoughts captive, they wouldn't have to go to a doctor. Stop worrying. Surrender to God. Come in close and get with God and say, I embrace your timing on my life. God, take care of me in the right way at the right time. Did you know that God knows what you need? You don't. You don't even know which pill you're supposed to take. Is it the green one or the red one, baby? Which one is it? You don't know what the future holds. God does. And God holds you in His hand. Quit trying to make things happen without the Lord. You're not in control. You don't want to be in control. When you try to make things happen, you put yourself in the driver's seat. That's a dangerous place to be. You better let Jesus take the wheel. But when you embrace God's timing, God takes control. Man, that's the safest place to be. I want God to control my life in the right way at the right time. Don't you? I'm not going to live afraid of the devil. I'm not going to live discouraged. And I'm done with all that stuff. Don't get mad at me, but I'm not dependent on the Republicans. I'm not dependent on the Democrats. If those bunches of folks could have fixed America, they'd have done it a long time ago. Amen. I'm not into that. I'm going to vote, but I'm not going to make a big deal out of that stuff. Because even when they get elected, they don't. I better be quiet. No, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to depend on Social Security either, I'll tell you that. It's not very social and it's sure not secure. I'm not going to tie my reins to the stock market. That dude, nobody understands it. They say, oh, the stock market's up today. Well, why didn't you tell me that yesterday? Because they don't know. I'm not going to put my dependence on a bank, medicine. I'm not even going to put my faith and dependence, don't get mad at me, on Bellevue. I'm not even going to put my dependence on the Southern Baptist Convention. I'm going to put all my dependence on my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. He's an on-time Savior. Amen. I've failed Him, but He's never failed me. And He never will. Ecclesiastes 3:1. For everything there's a season, a time for every activity under heaven. You need to surrender yourself to God and embrace His timing. If you're tired of struggling, there's a better way. You know, I kind of like this stand because I can't see the clock. I have no idea how long I've preached. This is awesome. You know what it means when a preacher looks at his watch? Nothing. That's right. Just let the peace that passes all understanding comfort you today. Pour out your soul to the Lord in fervent prayer. Bow before Jesus and get with Him in Gethsemane. There's a better way than fighting and struggling all the time. God will send an angel from heaven. God sent an angel to Daniel, didn't He? If I got anybody behind me, I'll ask them. Did God send an angel to Daniel? Yes, okay. Did God send an angel to Daniel?
Yes.
Did God send an angel to Jesus?
Yes.
How do you know God hasn't sent an angel to you? Do you know? I believe every person in this room has encountered an angel before. Hebrews says that we will. Years ago. Can I tell you something that is a pearl to me? This is precious to me. And I almost didn't tell you. Donna told me I should. So, I know. We were over in Israel. We've been 15, 16 times, but we were there. We came to the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus was praying all this that I've talked about today. And right on the inside of the church, they have built a little hedge, a little metal wall, fence, whatever, around the rock that supposedly Jesus prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done." And so we were there, and there were kneeling rails all around it. We were kneeling. And this monk came up to me, tapped me on the shoulder. And this never said a word, just motioned his hand. Like, would you like to come in? And I said, yes. He didn't say anything. I nodded, I said, yes. I went in. And to me, it was so holy, I didn't want to lay on that rock. But I laid right by. I lay down flat on my face. I had some things I was praying about that were really, you know, as a pastor, you've always got something you're praying about. But I was just really pouring out my heart to God. And all of a sudden, Donna and David Jett joined me. When we finished, we were walking back to the bus. I said, man, that was really something that monk led us in to pray. Donna and David both said, what monk? I said, what do you mean, what monk? The monk that opened the gate and led us in to pray. They said, we didn't see a monk. We just saw you get up. And you just walked in there and you just laid down. You started praying. I said, no, I did not. I said, there was a monk that let me in. They said, there was no monk. I said, there was a monk. They said, there was no monk. I just got tired of saying it. But nobody else saw the monk. I'm not crazy. But I saw the monk. And I believe it was a Hebrews 13:2 time. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some who have done this entertained angels without realizing it. I'll guarantee you, you have entertained an angel and you didn't even know it was an angel. I'll guarantee you, every Christian in this room has experienced that. So what time is it, preacher? It's time to have a sweet surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time to stop worrying, trying to make things happen. It's time to surrender to God, accept His will. It's time to surrender to God, love your enemies. Quit fussing with people all the time. Stop it. It's time to surrender to God and receive His timing. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. Say it with me. I surrender all. Let's give Him praise and glory right now. Amen. Amen.